Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Nagatik. Stay tuned and focused and let Words of Life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
You have Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. So I have the word, and I'm ready to receive it. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith," let's say this part in concert together. Ready? "But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Amen. 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 No catchy topics or anything like that. It's just simply a topic, a title, a tag that I will give to this message. Faith. The key to greatness. Amen. The key to greatness. Now, I know that may be confusing to those of us who walk in the natural. Because when I talk about greatness, I'm not talking about being great because of the things, the material that's been added to your life because you said you prayed and believed God. I'm talking about the testimony with God that you're right. Amen. We must have that testimony that when God looks at us, he's pleased in what he sees. Y'all hear me? Amen. All right, I'm just checking to see if y'all are there. Hebrews is a epistle. Some say scholars are, they are not in agreement of who wrote it. They say that it was Paul that wrote it, and then there are others that say that there are some, maybe Barnabas could have written it. But nevertheless, whoever wrote it, they wrote a masterpiece. Amen. Because this particular book, this chapter, this book, it is something that we must all understand. The book of Hebrews, it is a book that tells you that how great God is. It tells you that Jesus is greater than Moses' law. I know that there are a bunch of people that say, okay, we need to get in the law and we need to live the law, but Hebrews will tell you that Jesus is greater than the law. All right? Then it also tells you that Jesus is greater than the prophets, because we think that as long as we got somebody speaking a word to us, a prophecy, that we are all right. No, you need to have Jesus. Right. Amen. And him in your life, and serve him only, and focus on him. It lets you know. And being that I said that, let me just take a sidebar here and say that so many times people worry about whether or not they got a word through somebody who speaks prophetically in their life. They call their name, or they know my social security number, or they, you know, all of that. And that's fine and dandy. But without faith, all of that stuff they say is vain. Amen. And what I mean is not faith in what they said, but I'm talking about the word faith in this text. In the Greek, it is the word pistis, which means trust. Not trusting in what they said, but trusting in who God is. Right. Y'all with me here? And the most important thing is to trust in who God is, that he's able, that he's God and God alone, not because I told you something. You should already have faith before I tell you. Okay, let me go on here. This book of Hebrews, when we look at the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 in particular, is called the Hall of Fame for faith. You know, it is a book that talks about those people in the Old Testament who had faith in God, that they trusted God. Look at this. They trusted God, and they died trusting him. Yeah. Some of them, they trusted God, and you know what? They didn't get filled with the Holy Ghost, and they still trusted God. And now, I'm saying that because we have the advantage, because we've been given the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And we still have trouble trusting God. You take somebody like Abraham who didn't have the Holy Spirit, but all he had was that he trusted God. He didn't have a whole lot of money, but because he trusted God, God multiplied him. Because he trusted God, he didn't have a child, but because he trusted God, not only did he have a child, the promised child, but he had several children after that. Now, that's the part we forget. We talk about Isaac, which is the promised child, but he had sons of Keturah. He had Ishmael. He had three sets of children. You hear me?
Yeah.
Because he trusted God. So what I'm saying is that when you trust God, it is absolutely no way that you won't multiply. I said trust God, not what somebody said. I'm saying trust God. Not in who's in your corner, but trust God. Now, so he says there, and I'm going to go ahead and jump into this. He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, let me tell you how important the book of Hebrews is, that so important up into the late 50s and early 60s that everybody that graduated from Harvard Law School had to have the book of Hebrews in the Greek, and they had to learn it so that they could understand how to present a case, an argument, and win it. Because Hebrews presents the argument of who Jesus is, and it wins you over to believe that he is who the Bible says he is. All right, so he said faith, now faith. And when is faith? Faith is not yesterday. Faith is not tomorrow. I'll have it tomorrow. It is what? Right now. We have to have faith right now. You can't wait until a situation arises and say, well, I'm going to pray that I have the faith to do it. If you're praying that you'll have the faith, then you already lost the battle because you didn't have the grain of the mustard seed. He said, if you have the faith of the grain of a mustard seed, you can speak unto the mountain and tell the mountain to be moved and cast in the sea. Do I have a witness here? So what I'm trying to say is that we have to have at least a grain of a mustard seed of faith in order for things to work in our life. If you don't have faith, that means you have fear. That means you have doubt. That means you ifing God and not worshiping God for what he can do. All right, he says, now faith, right? Now faith right now, faith I possess it right now, is the what? Substance. Now, the first thing we got here is a description of faith. Nowhere else in the Bible is faith described like this. So we have a description of faith, or some say a definition of faith. He says, now faith is the what? Substance. The word substance there is the word hypostasis, which means the assurance or the guarantee. It is the word hypostasis, which means the assurance, the title deed, or the guarantee. When we talk about the title deed, when we talk about the assurance and the guarantee, we sometimes get that mixed up with we need to be calling it so it'll happen. I know this ain't what you want to hear. Because we try to call it, we try to declare it, we try to decree it, but when you have faith, you already know it. Okay, I'm going to get there. Hold on. Hold on, I know you don't trust what I'm saying, so I got to prove it. So he said the substance of things what? Hope for, and the evidence of things not seen. So faith substantiates as time goes on because God intends for you to have it anyway. Tell somebody, God intends for you to have it. Now look at this. He says of things hoped for. We got to understand faith and hope because hope and faith works together, right? Hope tells faith what to do, and they should be trusting or believing in the same thing. But sometimes all we have is hope. So when we start to try to speak it and declare it, and we have hope, we are just speaking and declaring in hope rather than saying that it's already done, rather than trusting that it's already happened, I wish I had somebody. Okay, let me give you a good example here. Example is the Bible says that Elijah, that he was a man of like passions. In other words, he was just like us. And when he spoke, he said, don't let it rain, and it didn't. He didn't say, I hope it don't rain. He didn't go every day saying, you know, rain stop. Don't rain no more. Don't rain no more. I decree it, don't rain. It ain't gonna, no. He just said it ain't gonna rain. He said it to Ahab. He said, it's not gonna rain for 3.5, it's not gonna rain of a space of 3.5 years. And it did not rain. But then he went back and he prayed and he says, go look, told his servant to go look. Now he didn't even want to look because he knew. You see, you ain't got to keep looking when you know. I'm trying to help you. You ain't got to keep peeping because I know it's going. I know that this is going to happen, and I'll be surprised if it don't. Because I already know. He says the things hoped for and the what? Evidence of things not seen. Now, what is the evidence? The evidence is not when it physically shows up. The evidence is the promises of God. Amen. The evidence is God in your life. The evidence is knowing that if God did it before, he can do it. I wish I had it. Somebody ought to just understand that knowing that God has a track record, that he is not a failure. Amen. Knowing that God has a reputation, that he can do anything but fail, lie, and die. Y'all with me here? I got two or three. We can have two or three more. We might have church in here. So he said the evidence of things not seen. In other words, you can't use your eyesight with this. He said that we got to understand that we can't walk by sight. We must walk by what? Faith. And so if we're looking with our physical eye, we will never see it. But with my spiritual eye, I already possess it. And so I've already handled it. I already see it. I already have possessed it because God said it was mine. And since he promised it, it's as good as a check in the bank. You ever trusted somebody and you, for instance, they say, cash out me $20. I'll pay you and pay you back when I get to you. Now, if they have a bad track record, you're not going to cash up that money. You're going to say, oh, I didn't see your request. You know how you do. But if they have a good record, it's as good as you having that money already. Yes. Am I right? It's as good as you knowing that it's because you knew that they were going to give that money back. Or because and look, they know you, so they know you got the money, so that's why they asked. And then they'll cash up and say, send you a text. I'm in the store waiting at the counter because they know you can do it. That's how we need to be with God. God, I'm right here at the counter. I'm waiting. I know you're going to do it. I have no doubt. Okay. The description of faith is it is a guarantee. We already possess this. We already have this, right? We already have, we already have the promises. So why are we panicking whenever things happen in our life? Why are we panicking when we already have the promises? Amen. I like to say some of us stand on the premises, but we don't stand on the promises. That's what we're doing. We're sitting on the premises, but we're failing to stand on the promises of God, that God has already given us what he wants us to have. And you know what? I'm a witness to this because it's a whole lot of things that I didn't even ask God to do for me, that God just looked at me and said, you know what? I think I want to do that for him. It's some things I didn't even, Lord, I didn't even think about. I'm like, Lord, I didn't ask for this. And God just opened up the door. Because he wanted to bless me. Why? Because I trusted in him for all my need. Paul said, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory. His riches, not according to what I said, not according to how I did it. And some of us, we got to understand that we can't try to buy ourselves through and try to give ourselves through. We got to know that when I give, God going to do it anyway. Amen. I'm not trying to manipulate God. Okay, I'm going to get to that in a minute. All right. I'm going to show you in a minute. You'll see. He says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. What's your report look like? In other words, what does your reputation look like with God? When God sees you, does he see faith? When God sees you, does he see the fruit of faith? When God sees you, does he see the development? And sometimes we wonder, how do we get faith? The Bible says faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by the word of God. And that's what we don't like to do, is hear the word. We want to hear what we want to hear. But we have to hear all of the word. Like right now, you're saying, go on and get to the end of the message. And I'm saying, no, I want you to hear the word of God. I need to remind you the basics before we go any further. So by it, the elders obtained a good report. In other words, because they had faith in God, not because of what they did, but because they trusted in God. Y'all hear me? Let me say that again. It's not about what you did. It's about who you trust. And so when they trusted God, God looked at them and said, in spite of what you've done, you are good with me. And so I'm going to bless you because of who you trust. Amen. And so when he says that, he's looking at them and saying, you're righteous because of your faith. And that's how we become right. Not by how we act and our actions and what we do, but we become right because we trust in God and our faith in him. The Bible says that Abraham, because he had faith, it was imputed unto him as righteousness. In other words, he was counted right because he trusted God. Now, let's see if Abraham was perfect. No, he told a lie to Abimelech, and he allowed Sarah to go over to the man's house, and when the man got ready to touch Sarah, God slapped him with a dream, and he turned around and said, you know what? Did you lie to me and tell me that this was your sister, and this really is your wife? And he said, yeah, that's my wife. And so God calls the man who Abraham lied to, the same man he lied to bless Abraham, and say, here, take this stuff, but you gotta go. So Abraham wasn't perfect, but because God, he was right and he trusted God, God caused the man that who should have killed him to bless him. Okay, not only that, was Abraham perfect? No, he kind of doubted a little bit, and then he had Ishmael, right? That's what we say. And so, but God still blessed him, and look, Ishmael is still blessed. Amen. Y'all still with me here? Abraham was not a perfect man, but he was a faithful man. And so faith brings you into good standing or a good report with God. Yes. In other words, when you run your credit report, if it is not in good standing, you're less likely to get credited. Simplest way to put it. But if your credit is good, you can get credited whatever it is you need. So all this is saying is that when I have faith in God, even though, I ain't got all what I need, God credits me. Amen. Righteousness, and said, well, people may not think you deserve it, but I think you do. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. That didn't work either. Let's go here. Verse 3. through faith, we understand the world's were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do what? Appear. So through faith, he says, we understand. So look at the work of faith. This is how faith works. He says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So what is he saying? He says that we understand, or we perceive, it's an exercise of the mind, and we consider and know. And it's about knowing. It's not about acting out so much. It's about knowing, because sometimes we in doubt, but we try to change our doubt by how we act. But we have to know it. He says, by faith, Abel offered unto God. Look, I can't go past verse 3. I got to go. He says, we understand that the world were what? Framed. Are you framing your world with the word of God? The word of God will help frame your world, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. We try to build things off of what we know we have, what we can put our hands on. But God is saying that you can build things with the word. You can build things with things that are not seen. Remember, I think it was last week we talked, I mentioned in a message about how Jesus said, if you have faith of the grain of mustard seed, you can speak unto this mountain and tell it move to be cast and see you can have whatever it is that you say. And I talked about how the word say in one text is epo in the Greek, which means to command. And then the other word saith is the word Lego, which means like Lego building blocks, where we get the word Lego for Lego building blocks, how you can build and frame up your world. You can build with the blocks. These are the building blocks of faith. You need to know what the word of God says. You need to know what thus said the Lord about your situation. If you don't know that God said that you are already healed by his stripes, then you always stay sick. Preach. If you don't know that God said that he'll deliver you, you will always stay bound. If you don't know that God said that he'll give you joy unspeakable, I wish I had somebody, you will always stay in sorrow. If you don't know that God said that I give you my peace so that your peace, I wish I had somebody, I give you my peace not as the world give it, but I give you a peace that no matter what the storm is, you'll still be in a place of calmness. If you don't know that, then you can't build upon anything because you don't have the building blocks of faith. And so we must have the building block. And what is that? That is the word of God. And so what happened to the word of God? The word of God built everything that does exist. The word of God, when he said, let there be, everything happened. I wish I had somebody. What am I saying? I'm saying, you know how we talk about the Big Bang Theory and evolution and all of that in school. They teach the kids that, right? Well, let me tell you, I'm not opposed to the bang. I'm not opposed to the Big Bang. I know that sounds crazy coming from a... But I'm not, because I realize that if God said something, it sounds like a bang. If God spoke into nothing, something had to explode. Amen. The Bible said that the word of the Lord is quick and powerful. Y'all don't hear me here. And so when you take and break down that nucleus of that atom, the smallest particle in it, a smaller portion in it, it is like unto sound, and that's how they measure it. Yeah. And so what that really is, when they're looking at it, scientists see that God's word still holds the atoms together. Yeah. Y'all still with me here? And so when God said, let there be, there was no resistance around to stop it from being, and so it, boom, it became. Y'all, okay. And so the world began to come into existence because God spoke into nothing with his voice, and that was an explosion and made things happen. You see, how I know that when God speaks, there's an explosion is because when I hear his voice, something inside of me explodes, and it gives me a feeling of power. It empowers me, and they call it dunamis power. I wish I had somebody. And what dunamis means is dynamite, and dynamite causes a what? Explosion. When it's ignited, and so all I'm trying to do is ignite you a little bit to let you know that the word of God is what you need in your life in order for the explosions in your life to happen, so that some things will take place in your life, and there, if there's a change, it's going to be a change because of the dynamite or the explosion in your life from the word of God, because the word of God is what makes your life change. I was telling somebody the other day, they was talking about change. I said, you know, nobody can change themselves. And let me tell you, women, you can't change a man. And let me tell you, men, you can't change a woman. So stop trying. And the only change that's going to be real change is going to be the change by God through his word. And if somebody gets to know his word, then there is a change that's going to happen. When you get to know his word, then things begin to change in your life. You start changing your outlook. You start changing how you talk. You start changing how you think. You're not the same person after the change has happened, because God made a change. He said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have what? Passed away. Behold, all things become new. How do they become new? They become new because of the word of God speaking a new thing in your life. The word of God giving you a new outlook. The word of God giving you a new revelation of who God is. Because I never knew that he was a deliverer until I got bound. I never knew that he was a healer until I got sick. I never knew that he was a friend till I looked around and wasn't nobody there but God. I never knew that he'll be a mother to the motherless until I realized that mama's gone now and I got to be able to depend on the Lord. Do I have anybody in here that said faith is the key to my greatness? Yes, Hallelujah. See, I'm being made by things that don't appear. We think that we making people. I made you who you are. No. It says that the world, he said that it was framed up and made by things that don't appear. And that's how we got to frame up our world. By the word of God, not by, and let me give you a hint here. There's so many people, they got all this philosophy. Every time you look up somebody quoting somebody or somebody quoting, you know, I don't want to be nice, but if it ain't the word of God, it ain't going to help you. It is like taking some artificial, and it just, you know, it's like eating Roman noodles. Ain't gonna fill you up and ain't gonna hold you down. It just keep your stomach from growling for a little while. And after a while, it's gonna run your blood pressure up because all that salt. So it ain't good for you. Y'all hear me? You have to know what God said. All of that just quoting out of the blue, some sound good, a cliche, just, oh boy, that made good sense. I don't need something to tickle my intellect. I'm not bragging, but I'm a little bit more intelligent than I was yesterday. And I don't need to be tickled in my intellect. I need something that's going to change me in my spirit. I need something that I can learn anything. If you teach it to me, I can learn it. So that ain't what I need. I need something that's going to cause me to hold on to God until he bless me. Y'all still with me here? I need something, and that's why they got to keep quoting them. That's why they got to keep with these cliches, because if I keep saying that, maybe I'll be all right. But let me tell you something about the word of God. If you know what God said about you, if you know what God said about your condition, your situation, if you know what God has promised, you ain't got to worry about it. You ain't got to keep going back and quoting it. All you need to do is say, Lord, I'm waiting on you, because I know that one of these old days, you're going to turn this thing around. One day, things are not going to be the same. One day, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to be healed. One day I'm going to wake up and things are going to be different in my life. All right. He says, let me go on. He says, by faith, talking about faith again, by trust, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet he speaketh. Look at this here. Abel was the fourth person born, fourth person made or born, created, or whatever, fourth person on earth. Says that this one, he made a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. I want to hurry, but I'm going to take my time with this. He says he offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness. His sacrifice witnessed on his behalf. He says that God testified of his gift. In other words, Abel didn't have to say nothing about his relationship with God. Amen. He didn't have to prove himself. God proved who he was. Yeah. I don't have to tell you who I am. I meet people all the time, and I talk to them all over the place. Then they find out later, say, you ain't tell me you was a preacher. I shouldn't have to. I shouldn't have to say, oh, by the way, I'm a preacher. I shouldn't have to. I just act right. You ain't hear me. I didn't cuss you out. I didn't say nothing I ain't had no business saying, you know, stuff like that. So, but Abel, it says here that he offered unto God, and his sacrifice was more excellent than Cain. Cain killed Abel, right? And Abel's blood spoke because he was righteous. God still heard him no matter what happened to him. God still heard. Y'all don't hear me. No matter what happens to you, if you're right, God will still hear you. Oh, Lord, have mercy. He said, look, that now, the reason why Cain's sacrifice was not acceptable and Abel's was because Abel sacrificed the way God wanted him to. We try to give God what we want him to have. See, Cain came to him with the work of his hand. He said, I got plenty, God. I know God's going to appreciate this because I did this with the work of my hand. Look at all these greens I got over here. Look at these tomatoes. Look at all this stuff I done got. I done grew all this stuff. I know. And he came here with one little lamb. Look at all the stuff I got. And sometimes that's how people try to measure your relationship with God. Look at all the stuff I got here. And all I got, listen here, y'all don't hear me here. Abel had one little lamb that was only one lamb that was worth being a sacrifice to God. One little lamb that he decided that when that lamb was born, the